Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we come before you and we just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask that you would be with us this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us to be faithful to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Jude, first of all. We're going to read some more of it, but I want to take one verse, or just one statement in verse 12. These are the men who are hidden reeves in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. I want to talk about clouds without water. Is the phrase I wanted. We'll probably read some more of this in a little bit, but someone mentioned this morning before we started about the reason for the season, and everyone is celebrating Baal Mass, X Mass, whatever. You know, it's Christmas today, and it is a season that everyone is just, you know, supposed to feel special during this season. Supposed to remember, at best, forget about Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff, but at best, it's supposed to be a time of goodwill, peace on earth towards men, because Jesus has came. And so their hope is that the reason for the season, remember the time of the season, is supposed to be festival. But it's just a season. It's a cloud without water. Jesus came to bring his kingdom. Not just a seasonal thing, not just a time that you get together and we celebrate this time and then the next season passes on and we go on to the next season. And then whatever that season is, football game or sports season or whatever, it's just a season. They're just passing through. So actually it is just a cloud without water. It has an appearance of something good, and it represents something good, and it's wonderful, those ideas. But it's not just a season. It is a lifetime. It's a lifestyle. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he came not to bring just a season of festivities, not to bring just a special day or a holiday or a feast day or anything like that. He came to bring his kingdom. And it's to be with us every day. All of the times in the Old Testament, they were pointing towards times whenever he would come and bring his kingdom. Not just to perpetually have these times and these seasons that we would just have them here and then we'll forget about them and we'll go on. It's almost like tithing. People, they give their 10% or they give their little season and then they think the rest of it is all theirs. That's not what Jesus came to do. When he came to bring his kingdom, it's a lifetime commitment. It's losing ourselves. It's giving ourselves away. It's not just a little party time that we have for a little while. It is a time for our whole life. And so people, they give their tithes, they put their 10% in, and that's the deceptive thing about clouds without water. It appears like there's some good in it. it appears like there's good there. And there is in structure, you know, in just in thought, it's a good thought. But that's not what it was, it's not what it's intended to do. It's not just a cloud that passes by and doesn't give you any rain. It's something that gives life. That's why we don't care to celebrate Jesus' coming. He was born one day. We don't know exactly what day it is to just put a day on that, like a cloud that just passes and comes once a year. But it's he was born. That's the wonderful thing. And it should be celebrated every day. It should be our life. This song we sang, O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. You know, whenever the Bible talks, we read in the Bible, and where it talks about those who have faith. And when Jesus was here, he kept talking about faith. Just believe that I am. And today, people take that and say, oh, I believe that he was. And so that means I believe. And they call that faith. But that is not faith. Whenever ransom Israel, they were in bondage. They were in bondage. And there was a promise that Israel, that Jesus was going to come. And he came. And it was to those who were looking for redemption. Not just a casual, oh, I believe it was who he said he was. I believe he was who he said he was. It wasn't anything like that. This nonsense that goes on today and passes for Christianity. That just, oh, I believe Jesus was God. So I believe. When the people that saw him and walked with him couldn't believe it. The disciples barely even believed it. He wasn't even able to tell them all about it because they couldn't handle it. They couldn't understand it. And these people so flippantly say, I'm saved because I believe Jesus died for me. And I'm saved because I believe that Jesus, that's not what this faith was about. Faith was someone looking for hope. Looking for deliverance. And they found a hope in this man. And they believe it. They believe. That's the hard thing about faith. We can get so discouraged and so downtrodden and so depressed. But faith sees through that. That veil that just keeps everything dark and cloudy and you can't see nothing. Faith is when you can't see anything, but you keep on going because you know it's there. You keep on going because you know it's there. When you're tempted beyond pressure, when there's the whole world is crowding around you, trying to drown this out, you just keep going. You may fail, you may stumble, you may just feel overwhelmed, but you keep on going. You keep on going. My grandma used to tell me, one of the things she told me, if at first you don't succeed, try again. That is so profound. It's not feeling like I'm a Christian. It's not feeling like I'm on top of everything. It's not looking and feeling like I've got this all figured out. It's whenever you don't feel that way. You feel like a failure. You feel like giving up. You feel like quitting. The world is coming down on you. And you say, I still believe it though. I still believe it though. I'm going to keep on walking. Though all the world forsake me, everybody turns away, everywhere you're evil spoken of, I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on walking. Sometimes we just think, what's the use? You see family turn against you. You see your family go away from you. You see your family upset with you sometimes. You see your friends, the people you live and work with, and they turn their back on you. Sometimes church people turn their back on you. And you have nothing. And you just want to give up. You just want to quit. But you say, I still believe it. I still believe it. That's what faith is. That's what it meant to believe that this one came down. Not just on one day during the year. Not just a season. Not just a cloud fluttering by. Not just a time we all get together and celebrate it like another holiday. It is a life that we're walking through. A life that we're living through. Till death. And then we find real life. Then we'll see and understand what we didn't see and what we didn't understand. But we believed. That's what faith is. That's the opposite of these clouds without water just passing by. It's easy to get all excited about a season. It's fun to have a party, get together, and just all your family and friends, and oh, you can just feel so nice. Everything's just so wonderful. And everybody has this special feeling of goodwill towards men. It's nice. That's the way it ought to be every day, not just a season. He came to bring His kingdom, and that kingdom is alive, and we believe it. Not just a bunch of rules, not just a bunch of church, not just a bunch of nonsense religion. That's all clouds without water. Just like the holidays. I come in, I do my time, I put my church time in, then the rest is mine. It's just like the tithe. That's the problem with the tithe. That's why the tithe isn't a part of the New Testament. The tithe was where they could put theirs in and the rest was theirs. That's not what Jesus wants. That's clouds without water. You don't owe Him 10%. You owe Him everything. Everything. People can put their 10% in and feel like they've done their duty. They feel like they've done their duty, and now I can do whatever I want. That's the way it is with all these holidays, these seasons, these times. They just come in, they can put in the little show for the week, and it's over, and then just go back to normal. I did my time. People do that coming to church. We come to church, we can all love each other, happy, happy whenever we're at church, and then go and just backbite and hate each other. Clouds without water. Hypocrisy. It looks like it's going. I mean, can you imagine in a dry season and the big cloud coming up over the, and the farmers out there just, oh, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Just, it's going. We're dry. We're burnt up. And here comes a big old cloud. And the cloud comes and it gets over and kind of cools things off for a little bit, for a little season. Just cools it off for a minute. And then it just goes right on by. Didn't gain a thing. No water. Disappointment. That's not what Jesus came to bring. He brought hope. He brought hope. Not just a cloud without water. In John chapter 14, 15, don't worry about it, you know where. It says that I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. And then He says, abide in Me. Because you cannot bear fruit on your own. Abide in Me. Because you can't bear fruit on your own. Because without Me, you cannot bear fruit. Some people will say, well, that means that we're depraved. That there's no good in us. But that's not what that means. What that means is that there's a ruler in this world that is so powerful, that is so strong, and that is trying so hard to keep you bound up by something that you can't produce any fruit. Just like a garden that is just full of weeds, a good seed doesn't have a chance. But Jesus came. This is why He came. He came for that seed, that good seed, to rip away the garden, to rip away the weeds, so that that seed would have a chance to bear fruit. But the devil and his kingdom, the Bible says he's the ruler of this world. He's the ruler. He's not just a passive guy that's just, oh yeah, that's something I own. I have no big deal. He's the ruler of this world. And when you try to grow fruit that's godly and good, he smothers it out. And the person that's wanting to do that, that's being smothered, Jesus was born. Jesus came to bring that kingdom to us. So that that fruit, if we abide in him, could be grown. You know, we can keep rules. Two or three of the boys talked about the rich young ruler this morning. This rich young man had it all figured out. And I mean, I bet he had his life in order. You know, we deal with people sometimes, and sometimes we are that way. Chaos. Just disorder. Things falling apart. Everything's broken, and we're just always working, always behind. Never have enough money. It just goes through our fingers, and we owe people sometimes. And just, you just try to help people like that, and it's just like pouring water in a hole. Just never fills up, never gets any better. Just, it's gone. You help them, and you help them, and you help them. Just, it's gone. This man wasn't like that. This man was able to take everything that he had and had the discipline, had he was frugal. I mean, when something came his way, he was able to save half of it, use it, fix it, keep everything just perfect. This man had it together. That's what I'm saying. He had it together. And not only financially, but he had his religion down. He had it all together. If we would see him today, our first thought, our first judgment on this man would be, there is a godly man. There is a godly man. We would see that, boy, he looks good. And we would be drawn to him. We would think, he's got it together. I can learn something from this man. He's got his Christianity down pat. I could listen to him. And people do. But let's look at this man. Jesus asked him, he said, what do I got to do to go to heaven? He still was concerned about it because he knew something was wrong. Jesus said, keep the laws. He said, which ones? And he said, well, obey your father, obey your parents. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. I've done all those. And I have no doubt in my mind that he hadn't. I don't believe for a minute that he couldn't do it. Paul talks about he said, in the law, I'm above reproach. Paul lived his life in the law, above reproach. Everybody thought he had it. Do you know what? When Jesus spoke to this man and said, I'm not impressed with you having it all together. In fact, I want you to do something completely foolish. Sell it all and give it away. And follow me. Don't just look like you got it all together. Because you know what? I think you're just a cloud without water. Is what Jesus was telling this rich young man. The world all believed it. He had it all together. While they were rejecting Jesus, they would accept him. But Jesus saw that he was a cloud without water. He was just a party at a certain time of the season. Certain time of the year, he had the Spirit. He had it all down pat. He could go through the festivals, the seasons, the holidays, all of those things. And he was just right there with all of it. But he was a cloud without water. Carried along by the winds. But when Jesus came, he went away sorrowful. He went away sad. Do you know what? I admire that rich man. I admire him. Because he was honest. He was honest. He wasn't a Christian. Wasn't a follower of Jesus. He was sad that he couldn't. He had it all together. But he recognized, I haven't got what it takes. 95% of the people in the world, when they meet that question, get more religious instead of just accepting that I'm not going to follow him. I'm not going to follow him. Most people, when they hear today Jesus calling, here, get associated with me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. How many places do you go that say that they're Christians, that they're not under the Spirit of liberty, but there's some kind of bondage keeping them in their religion? There's some kind of thing controlling them in their religion. Controlling them just as much as a drug addict is controlled by another hit of dope. But they have this appearance. They're a cloud without water. How refreshing it is to find liberty. Because that's what Jesus came to do. That's what the season is all about. Is to bring liberty. Not for 2 weeks out of the year. But to bring liberty every day. Liberty for a lifetime. And not only a lifetime, but eternity. Satan is all around us. Trying to crush us. Trying to mash that liberty. Trying to bond us. Trying to put us in chains. Continually. One way or another. You know, I'm not worried about very many of you people going out and getting drunk this weekend. Because you got tempted to. You know, any of you tempted that way? Go to the bars? Not very many of you, huh? Any of you think you go to do some drugs this week? You just really want to so bad. Not very many, huh? You want to go to bad places and chase wild women? Not very many of you. Huh. Well, you must be saints then, huh? Because you don't have all that? But we're bound by religion. We're bound by tradition. We're bound by all kinds of things. And the bondage to the devil, to Satan, is the same. He don't care whether you're religious, sitting in church, looking good, as long as you're in bondage. He don't care. He don't care at all. We think it's some kind of great big difference between those people out in the world and good religious people. Problem is, most of the people in the world are at least honest. They're not putting on no big show. They're not trying to paint themselves as some big cloud that's going to rain. Some big holiday that's going to come by and we can be happy for a season. Jude understood what it meant to have liberty. And the world takes that again. They twist it all around. Liberty means I can do whatever I want to. That's not what liberty is. Liberty is to be free. Because doing whatever I want to is complete bondage. But being free, having real liberty, is a fight to stay free. Freedom, the early people in the United States, they said, we're giving the people a republic. We're giving them freedom. We're giving them a republic. And then he said, if they can keep it. Because it's not something that's just passed down from generation to generation. These churches that have 400 years of history, and they just think they're just keeping their traditions and keeping things going. That's a cloud without water. Plucked up, twice dead. Trees in the fall with no fruit. Got this great big appearance of something. But it's phony, phony, phony. And they're so proud of it. Just like this rich young ruler was. He hadn't sinned. He hadn't sinned. But he still didn't listen to Jesus. He was in just as much bondage as anyone else. Praise the Lord. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We may have that appearance. You can bring forth no fruit apart from Jesus. We think that we can nail Jesus down by these rules. But it didn't work. Keeping the commandments. This man, this rich young ruler, kept them. He thought he had it all in order. There was no fruit there. He wasn't abiding in Jesus. There's a lot of people that have their lives in order. They look good to the world. But unless you abide in Him, unless your faith, unless your trust, your only hope, you're abiding in Him. Not just the rules whenever He gave us how to live. It wasn't a checklist that I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. I must be good. He was bringing His kingdom. See that checklist that we have? Boom, boom, boom. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a liar. I'm not a covetous. I'm not all of this. I keep the kingdom teachings. I keep all the kingdom teachings. I've got it down. Cloud without water. A cloud without water. Just like they could keep the old law, they can keep the new one. And they do. And they do. And they do. Jesus came to make us men and women. Not a bunch of religious robots tossed to and fro, pushed into this and pushed into that. It's men who make decisions on their own and stand by them when no one else will agree. They walk through it. They have the faith that when everything is black and turned, to keep on walking, to keep on walking. Not just a cloud without water that has this wonderful promise, this hope, this appearance. But someone that has faith. Just read Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. This was Jesus' half-brother. I think Jude was, wasn't he? That's what they say. This was the half-brother of Jesus. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down, was once for all handed down to the saints. Okay. Did he say, keep all the rules that I've given you? He said, keep the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. See, if you have the faith, if you're at one with Jesus, if you have the spirit of unity, you will be keeping the laws of God. Not the other way around. You can't keep the laws of God to unity and to faith. You have the faith, and you keep the faith, and the outside will be fine. The outside will be fine. You live, you walk. This is a season. This is a kingdom, not a season. When you're keeping the faith that they handed down, not just the set of dogma, not just the doctrines, not just the same church, but you're keeping the faith that was delivered to the saints. That was from the very beginning. Men who had faith. That's what we're to keep. This real live faith. Not the real solid cloud that has nothing in it. That's what he wanted handed down to all the saints. Not just the saints 100 years ago or 400 years ago. He's handed it down to all of us. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. And deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Here's two examples of people who started out. They had a little season of Christianity. They had a little time of celebration. We were saved from Egypt. The problem is they didn't believe. They didn't have faith. They had religion. They had religion. They were able to put on the show for a little while. But then, after a while, they didn't believe. So it got cast aside. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example of undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh, and reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. These people in verse 8 he's talking about. These people, they're not like the people in Sodom, but in the same way, they're still a cloud without water. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." They didn't have it all figured out. These people, that the same way as Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't that they were doing the same things, but they had the same spirit. They, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. Jesus didn't call us to be a bunch of rebels. Jesus didn't call us to turn everything upside down. He said we would, because we bring in the kingdom. Not just for a season, but a lifetime. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these they are destroyed. They revile things which they do not understand. The Bible says that the cross is foolishness to those that perish. They don't understand someone that just can walk by faith. They've got to have all this structure around them and all this that keeps them secure. They don't know how to walk in darkness, to walk through the darkness following the light. They revile what they understand and the things which they know by instinct. Like unreasoning animals, these things are destroyed. They are destroyed. Whenever you can't, there's not a reasoning. People hear what they want to hear. They hear what they want to hear. You can say a sentence, and some people will take half of that sentence and run with it and believe it. That's an unreasoning animal. It's just like you have a wild dog and you have a bowl of food sitting right beside you, and you hold one little morsel out, they'll come and grab that and run off. Instead of coming and taking the whole thing and just being friendly, just being real. They'll just take, like a wild animal, they'll just take one thing, boom, no more reasoning. No more understanding. I don't hear it. I don't want to hear anything else. I believe this. That's what a wild animal does. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the air of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reeves in your love fest. When they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. You see that spirit of 'tis the season. It's through everything. It's just another cloud without water. It's here for a little while. It goes right on. Nothing in it. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Wandering stars, just passing by, come in for a while and then they're gone. Just a cloud that comes through. No roots. It was about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy angels to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage." just paints a pretty clear picture of people. You know, whenever we look at the Bible, that's what it does. It's a mirror. And we can look at it, and if we're honest, we can see ourselves. If we're not, we can be religious. We can be a hypocrite. But if we're honest and we have faith, we can see ourselves. Oftentimes, we have ourselves so protected, got all these shields up around us, that all we see is this phony image that we've built around us. We've built this little shell. I went to a church one time, and for years, everyone was just so perfect. And I thought, one of these days, I'm going to come into church, and they're just going to rip off their mask and say, blah, here I am. And they did. They did. But for years, it was just, something's wrong here. But you know what they see when they look in the mirror? They see that painted on, you know, they got that anonymous face, that white face that's always smiling all the time. Be a monster behind it. But look in the mirror and all you do is see that mask there. Boy, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a Christian. But they won't lift the mask up to see who they really are. You know, a lot of times God lets us fall flat on our face. Why? I mean, He lets us sin to show us who we are, so we can get up and fix that and walk again. But if we've got that face on, we can just do all kinds of things. You know, it's not one bit of different between the people that are eternal security. You know, I've seen pictures of people who are saved. They got saved because they said a prayer one time. And I've seen a picture of this man hiding behind this picture of Jesus, smoking and drinking and carrying on. And you can see that God is looking down, and all He sees is Jesus, because He's been saved. Hallelujah. He's been saved. Jesus don't see who I really am. All He sees is this cardboard picture of Jesus, and I'm going to do whatever I want behind it. What's the difference between that? What's the difference between that? And someone has this religious mask on, can be full of all kinds of corruption and rot and hate and filth inside, but got a religious mask on. Not one bit. Because they're thinking that Jesus won't see them behind that mask. Just like that little knucklehead holding up a cardboard picture of Jesus. Not one bit of difference. If you can't be real, you can't be a Christian. All you are is a cloud without water. You just well go celebrate Santa Claus once a year. Have a big time. Shout Merry Christmas to everybody. Say, 'tis the season to be jolly. Next week's New Year's. Let's go have a good time then too. And just pass season after season after season as a cloud with no water. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that You'd help us, Lord. If anything at all, just to be ourselves and see ourselves as we are, Father. So easy to look down on others and have this high opinion of ourselves and this mask on of ourselves and quickly condemn someone who's struggling or failing. Lord, help us to have faith, to walk with You,
in your kingdom. Lord, again, we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Yeah. Amen.